Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be with you all, saints of God. Many greetings and love regards from my family and Good Samaritan Primitive Baptist Ministries in India. First of all, I want to express my hearty thanks to our beloved Elder Bradley for the kind invitation extended to me to come back to Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church to share the Word of God this morning. And also I want to express my hearty thanks to co-pastors and also deacons and every one of the church members for this great opportunity given me to preach the Word of God. Sorry for this disturbance. I will turn off this. It is my joy and privilege to come back to Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church, because this is the church ever since we planted Primitive Baptist Church in India. You have been stand with us and extending the partnership with the gospel of Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the non-Christians in the states of Tamil Nadu, Karnataka and Andhra Pradesh. And I am so thankful and grateful to you for all the prayers, support and everything you have extended to us for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning I would like to turn our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, into obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let us close our eyes and ask God to help us to understand his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the goodness and mercies, blessings we received from you. Even this morning, as we are going to meditate thy word, I pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate our hearts and minds to perceive the truth from the word of God. Lord, I pray that you will hide myself and glorify your name. Bless each one of the saints here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, I would like to share the context of the Peter. 1 and 2 Peter was written when the early Christians were going through the persecution terribly in the Roman world. They were scattered different parts of the Asia Minor, the world. And they were very much afflicted, and they were very poor, and they were not settled in one place because of the persecution. So in that stage, Apostle Peter wrote these epistles to encourage the believers. There were many false charges were made against the Christians of that day. One of the false charges was, because the saints of God worshipped underground and secret places, while they offered communion, this is the blood of Christ, this is the body of Jesus Christ shed for you. When the enemies heard this word, they thought Christians are cannibalists. And another charge made against Christian was Christians, because they greet each other by hugging their necks, they said Christians are immoral. And because Christians did not bow before the statue of a Roman emperor, it is a compulsory to worship the statue of Roman emperor and bring incense before that. When they do this once a year, they will be awarded a certificate. With that certificate, they are eligible to get benefits from the government. But whereas Christians did not bow before the statue of the emperor, so they were denied privileges, benefits from the government. That is why they were very much poor. This is the condition of Christians even in India today. And so they said Christians are disloyal to the government. Then the fourth charge made against Christians was they are very bad in the family life. Because when Jesus talked about the discipleship, whoever in my name, for the sake of gospel, leave their family, their kith and kin, and they will be received hundredfolds. And many of them, for the sake of faith, their relationship and their family, it costed them very much. That is why they said they are not very good in the family life. Another charge made against them was they are atheists because they did not worship the Roman gods. It was compulsory for any Romans to worship. And then the sixth charge made against the Christians was Christians were the main cause for the fire in Rome. In AD 64 July, Nero set fire to Rome, and he was sitting on a mountain and playing the sharp. And when it was, it caused a big damage, then they said, Christians, they preached about the world is going to be consumed by fire, and God is going to destroy the world by fire. And so these are the people set fire, the Rome. Because of all such false charges made against Christians, they were very much persecuted. That is why they scattered in many parts of the place. So what was the purpose of Peter to write this epistle to the saints scattered? Number one, as Luke 22:32 says, Jesus said to Peter, after you got repented, you strengthen your brother. The purpose of writing this epistle was to strengthen the brother who was going through difficult circumstances. And secondly, John 21:15-17, Peter was confessing Jesus that he is loving Jesus Christ with his whole heart. So three times he denied Jesus, three times he confessed, Lord, I love you. And on hearing this confession, Jesus said, feed my flock. So he wanted not only encourage the believers, but also he wanted to feed his flock with the word of God. So even today, Christians are going through many persecutions. Particularly in India, right now, we are going through much persecution. Maybe if I have a time while showing the videos, I would like to share some of the persecutions we are going through in India. And in this context, many of the Christians, not only in India, but also Christians in the world, are going through the persecutions. Maybe this kind of persecution we may not be faced here in States, but we may be going through sufferings. We may be going through difficulties. We may be going through discouragements. But the word of God is there always to encourage us, to strengthen us, to get on the ministry. And so this morning I want to briefly share about the inheritance, the spiritual inheritance that Christ has reserved for his saints in heaven. So according to the scripture, what is the source of inheritance? God the Father is the source of our spiritual inheritance. Because God the Father is the one who chosen us even before foundation of the world. As Ephesians chapter 4 says, and Jesus, God has chosen us even before we conceived in the womb of our mother. And God has chosen us, God has predestined us before the world began. And God the Father has chosen, but God sent His only begotten Son in order to save His elect. So Christ has shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, and because of the ransom paid for the elect, elects are saved, come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of the elect, and He is drawing closer to God. So in the plan of salvation, God the Father and God Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, Triune God has a part to play in conversion of the souls. And 2 Timothy chapter 9, 1 chapter 9 says, God has called us according to His purpose and grace. So when God saves His saints, He has a plan and purpose on each individual. And Romans 9:11, Ephesians 1:17, Romans 8:28, Acts 13:40, all these scriptures says God has a purpose and plan in saving His elect. And secondly, what is the motive of our inheritance? The motive of inheritance is the mercy of God. God is the God of mercy. God is the God of grace. That's why Titus chapter 3:5 says, according to His mercy, God has saved us. Ephesians 2:1, by His mercy, He quickened us. And the mercy has two parts to play. Number one, it is changing, mercy of God is changing our condition. We were dead in sin, we were dead in trespass of our sin, and we were alien towards the gospel. We were enemies to God, so we have no hope. But because of the mercy, God has changed our condition. And because He saved us, He adopted as our children, sons and daughters in the family of God. Then the mercy is changing our position. Because of mercy, He made us, He justified us, He cleansed us, He sanctified us, and brought before His presence. And Exodus 34:6 says, it is the character of mercy, is the character of God. And Psalm 108:4 says, the mercy is great above the heaven. So mercy cannot be measured. It's an immeasurable gift of God. Micah 7:18-19, He delighteth in mercy. And Lamentation 3:22 says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So God is God of mercy and all the comforts. He brings comforts in all situations, all seasons in our lives. So how do we receive this mercy and inheritance? That is through the, by the rebirth. 1 Peter 1:4 clearly says that. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Jeremiah 13:23 says, what was our condition and how God changed our condition. So therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. So how the new birth takes place? That is by the power of God, by the power of Holy Spirit. And so God, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to His elect, His elect repents. He's in the work, in the, when the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of the elect repents from his sin. This is what we read in the book of Acts. 1 Peter 1:23-25 says, by the seed of his word, word of God, God cleanses. And John 1:13, new birth is the will of God, not the will of man. So whomever God has chosen before foundation of the world, in his time, God sent his people, and God illumines the hearts and minds of the people to receive the gospel and saves them. Then what is the result of the inheritance? What is it? 1 Peter 1:4 says, we got a living hope in Christ. As I said before, we lived without hope. We lived without joy. We lived without a purpose in life. But after having got in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, after having got saved, God has put us the living hope for us. Because of the living hope, all the saints of God scattered, who were persecuted, whose belongings were confiscated, who were martyred for the sake of Christ, all about they went through the difficult situation because of that hope is reserved in heaven. And 2 Peter 3:13-14 and 14:18-19, 1 Corinthians 15:17, all the scriptures encourage his saints that about the living hope in Christ Jesus. There are many people put their hope in different things. Some people put their hope in insurance. Some people put their hope in share market. In India, there was a new insurance company gave attractive announcements. On hearing these attractions, lots of people even sold their property and invested a lot of money in it. But finally, that was forgery insurance. It was all of a sudden closed. People who invested got disappointed, lost everything. And the police is trying to recover that, but still could not make it. But the inheritance we have in Jesus Christ is a living, the hope we have in Jesus Christ is a living hope. Then finally, what is the nature of our inheritance? Our nature of inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and unfaded. We know the inheritance the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, it was plundered and it was destroyed and it was defiled 17 times. Over and over again, whenever they failed according to the prediction of God, it was destroyed. But the inheritance we have in Christ, now it is incorruptible, undefiled. And for this we are looking for. We are looking for the inheritance. We are looking for the life where there is no sickness, where there is no difficulties, where there is no persecution, and there is a hope and joy in Jesus Christ. So, friends, I want to share a few things about the situation in India. If you are recording, please kindly stop record from this point, because the government has made a law recently. Anyone who talks about a government or the situation, they will be arrested unwarrantedly. So right now, India, Indian Christians are going through much difficult situation. In the year 1925, there was a Hindu militant organization started by two high caste Hindu Brahmins named Goldwalkar and Hedjuwar. The purpose, the goal of the organization was undivided India. There should be one language, one religion, one culture. That is their goal. And India is the multicultural and multilingual country. Unity in diversity is the slogan. But they wanted to change the whole situation. These are the people appreciated what Hitler had done to the Jewish people in Germany. Hitler ruthlessly killed about 6 million Jews. So they said, one of the leaders publicly made a statement, "What is democracy? We don't care about democracy. We are more than 80% population of the nation. One day we will annihilate the minorities from the country." And another leader publicly made a statement, said, "In order to attain this stage, we waited for 100 years. Now we are in power. For another 100 years, nothing can shake us." So these people do not believe on democracy. They want to rule the country like that. And this is the party killed Australian missionary Graham Stein several years ago with his two sons. While they were driving, his jeep was stopped and gasoline was poured out and set the fire, and they were killed. And this is the organization now appointed unemployed young people all over the country in order to persecute the Christians at large. So far the persecution was prevalent only in northern India. Now this persecution has came even to southern part of India. And one of the rules recently they made while I am here in India is, all the preachers are asked to sign in affidavit, submit to the government, giving guarantee that I will not involved in conversion. And this affidavit has to be submitted within a month. But I am here, I won't submit that. If anyone who is not submitted, and they will file a case against them, to put him in jail. And now they made a law, anyone who wants to build a church building, prayer permission has to be obtained from government. And any Christian activities performed in the public needs prayer permission from the government. In my state, already several church buildings were destroyed. And several people were attacked. Several pastors were attacked. Some people were killed. Unidentified mob, young people, what they are doing nowadays is, all of a sudden enters into the church building during the worship services going on and attacking the people, collecting all the Bibles and songbooks and set fire and run away. Even if the photograph and complaint, everything is given to the local police station, police is not taking action because they got a order from the central government. Above all, they recently made one law: Christians should not worship in the houses. So far, many churches do not have a church building. Right now, the Lord has blessed us and used us instrumental to plant 32 churches in 3 different states of India: Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh. Still, more than half of the churches, we don't have a church building. They are worshipping the houses, or worshipping in a hut, some are worshipping under the tree. So this worship is getting difficult situation. In this situation, we need your fervent prayers. God is in control of everything. God is still in the throne. And God can change the whole situation all of a sudden. But even if God does not change, He has a will and purpose. And as Habakkuk 2:20 says, God is in the temple. So the human being has to close the mouth and keep silence. But God does always for our good. All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to the purpose. Finally, I want to read one scripture and close my words. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Here after the third missionary journey of Paul, he was about to go to Jerusalem. He was warned not to go to Jerusalem. Even the Holy Spirit inspired him what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. The prophets predicted what is waiting for him in Jerusalem. Afflictions and persecutions are waiting. In spite of all these things were informed to him. What was the response of Paul? Paul said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy on the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." This is our stand. We need your prayers and we need your continual prayer support in our ministry. Thank you so much.